Hallelujah. Good morning, Glory Peace Church. Good morning to those online. Praise the Lord. He is risen, and he is risen indeed. We praise God this morning. Let's all stand and start praise and worship together this morning. If you haven't already thanked Jesus this morning, thank him right now. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us. We receive the full benefits. We receive the full benefits of your resurrection. Hallelujah. Thank you that resurrection power is working in our lives, working in this service. We give everything to you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We give you this full service this morning. We praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Your name is power.
Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Your name.
And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. What manner of man?
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Good day, everybody. Children were just amazing. Praise the Lord. Happy Resurrection Day. Hallelujah. Well, if you're going to clap for the children, give a good clap offering. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He saved us. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to pray. And are the children staying in the service? Oh, they're staying in the service? All right, let us pray for our children. You've been sitting for a while, so you can stand for 1 second, and let's pray for the children and the teachers. And during the reading of the word, you can sit if you're tired, or you can stand. So praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. What a glorious name, the name of Jesus. We thank you for waking us up, giving us life. Thank you, Lord, that 2,000 years ago, you rose again from the dead. This is the victory that you've given to us. So we bless your holy name. Not only did you die, when you died, and if you did not rise, then game over, but you rose. Oh, we thank God for the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We remember you, and we are thankful, and we are grateful. We thank you, God, that when you died, we died with you, and when you rose, we rose with you. And when you ascended, we ascended with you. And today, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We celebrate and we say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. A zillion thank you and more than that for all you have done for us. For taking us out of darkness and bringing us into your marvelous light. To bring us back into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that has come to church this morning. We pray for all our children, our teachers, and all the biological children, spiritual children, partners, and all our extended family children that are partners of this ministry. From age 120 plus to zero, those in seed form, those moving around the earth in every decade of life, that your hand will touch them, that your resurrection life will be their portion. In the name of Jesus. For your word says that if the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead shall dwell in us, it shall quicken our mortal body. Lord, we are still mortal right now, so we thank you for the quickening of the Holy Ghost in our system, that every part of us is quickened. Somebody say, I'm quickened. Somebody say, I'm quickened. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Bless you, children. See you later. Hallelujah. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of the fear of the Lord, and all your spirit, which is your holy word, we receive you into our lives, into our church, our ministry, our city, our nation, our families, our businesses, and everything that concerns our lives. We bless your holy name. Be in the service this morning in every aspect of it. May your name be glorified forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we got a few Bible readings. So I won't read all of it, so you can sit. And today's Resurrection Sunday. So there are many scriptures we can read, but I choose that we will read maybe just two different passages. So let's start with John chapter 20. It gives you the account of what happened on that morning. John 20. We're going to read from verse 1. I'm just opening mine. Praise the Lord. I was going to start with another one, but I changed it to start with this. Praise the Lord. All right, John 20. If you're there, say praise the Lord. All right, you read together. So when you're at home today with your family, you can take your time and read the scriptures to your children. Or read, if your children are not there and you're by yourself, just read them all over again. It took Jesus, his whole life, to die and to rise for us. So to take a few moments to read this is easy. Say amen and be thankful. All right, everybody read with me. Let's read. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. That's just where they buried him. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Apostle and I have been there so many times. It's just a stone-carved little room where you can put the body and where the people who can wait and sit. It's just a small, small room. So it's a stone-carved room, but he's no longer dead. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We thank God he is risen. And risen indeed. He's not here. When you get there, it's written, he's not here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 3, Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Now, if you go to the sepulchre in the garden, you have to stoop down to get in, because it's a small entrance. Praise the Lord. So this is describing why he had to stoop to get in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself, well folded away. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. Somebody say, I will believe. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went again unto their own home. There are many times you will come to church, you hear the word of God, but it has not sunk in yet. Jesus told them the temple is going to be destroyed, and on the third day it will be built. But they didn't understand what he's talking about. May our ears and our spirit mind be open to understand what the word of the Lord is saying to us. In Jesus' name. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept and stooped down, and she looked into the sepulchre. So every time you go to that place, everybody must stoop down to get in. Hallelujah. At the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. And seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Hallelujah. One day, this is also going to happen to you when you are ready to be with your master, your Lord, and your Savior. Angels will be there at your departure. One is going to be on your head, one's going to be on your feet. Hallelujah. I hope demons will not come and welcome you to be Jesus' angels. Somebody say, hallelujah. The Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. Amen. So whatever happened to him is going to come to pass for us. Hallelujah. And verse 13, and they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Even she too, she did not believe that he's going to rise, because she's just looking for the dead body. May we believe today in the name of Jesus. Verse 14, and when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Somebody shout hallelujah. You see, the resurrected body is going to look different from the regular body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. May he call your name today. When she was called woman, she still did not recognize. But when she was called Mary, she recognized the Lord. May he call you as his own today in the name of Jesus. Say, Jesus, call my name. You know, we call his name. May he call your name. Hallelujah. Somebody say, Lord, call my name. Yes, when he calls you, you will recognize him. Verse 17, Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. We've been promoted, folks. Hallelujah. He's not a distant father. He's not a father. The same Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has become your Father. Somebody say, I'm special. I don't know about you, but I am special. I don't know if you're special. Are you special? I am very special. Can you say you are special? God is saying he's your father, he's your daddy. If you don't even know how to pray, just say, Daddy God. That would be enough. Praise the Lord. My Father and my God. That's what resurrection has done for us. We've been brought to the God class. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. From once in darkness to now God. God class. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. Somebody say, I received the peace. Hallelujah. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hand and his side. That's the evidence. Then were the disciples glad, and they saw the Lord. They too did not believe until they had to see. May we believe in the name of Jesus. Verse 21, then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. Hallelujah. As my Father had sent me, even so send I you. We've been sent. Hallelujah. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. We've preached many messages from this, so I'm not making too much commentary on them this morning, because I just want to read, and then we can read the other one. You spend time with yourself. Hallelujah. And the Lord. Whosoever, verse 23, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. That's another benefit of the resurrection. We can cancel sin out of people's life. If you say, I forgive you, that their sins are removed. That's why we must forgive people. Say amen. Amen. Jesus said, if you remit it, if you remove it, it shall be removed. If you hold on to it, it should be held on to. So if you don't forgive others, your sin will be also held against you. How many of you like all the bad things you have done be held against you by God? He even knows more that you do inside your mind that nobody knows about. So practice forgiveness. Say amen. Somebody say, I will practice forgiveness. But Thomas, one of the 12, said, Didymus was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Well, thank God for Thomas. Thomas had made the proof. A lot of us say, I don't know about that doubting Thomas, but he wanted evidence. He wanted to make sure everywhere he was pierced, this is the right guy. So that's the proof that it is Jesus. 26, and after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. And then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. All shut doors can never hold you back ever again. Hallelujah! Doesn't matter what corner you've been backed into life, Jesus can show up in that place. Nothing can stop him. He showed up. They were all in fear for their own life. He showed up in their midst without using the door. Hallelujah! That means resurrected body can materialize and dematerialize. Yes, that was the Selah moment. What about you? He said we rose with him. Somebody say, I receive. You know, somebody believed that scripture. Somebody believed this. Philip of Azotus was able to move from one dimension to another. Somebody say, Lord, help my unbelief. I believe. 27. That was too heavy a meal right now, so you can digest it later. Praise the Lord. 27. Then said he to Thomas, reach thither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach thither thy hand, and trust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. May we have faith, and may we believe. Say amen. So, you know, Thomas, I'm sure he opened his big mouth and showing all his doubt. But you know what? He got to touch the body of Jesus. He got to put his hand on his flesh on the side. How many of you would have loved to let that be your hand today? Praise the Lord. No other person. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and have yet, what? Yet have believed. We are those group. Praise the Lord. We believe even when we have not physically seen him. Hallelujah. And the Bible says he did many other signs. So finish the scripture on your own. Now go quickly to 1 Corinthians 15. I won't read all of that. You need to read the whole chapter at your own time. 19 is about the death and burial of Jesus, of John. 20 is the resurrection. All right. 1 Corinthians 15. Why do we take time to read these scriptures? Because most people will not read it. Just come to church, whatever is preached, that's it for the day. And the Bible is closed all week. Are we there in 1 Corinthians? All right, I'm going to start reading maybe from verse 15. Let's go to 15. You read the whole chapter at your own time. Okay. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have what? Testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. There is a threat to them, and the accusation is that they are preaching the resurrection of Jesus. Verse 16, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is what? Vain. You are yet in your what? Sins. So resurrection proved that our sins have been forgiven. Say amen. Then they also which are falling asleep in Christ are what? Perish. So there's no hope for them. You know, the day when he died, and when Jesus died, and they saw a lot of people when he rose, a lot of people rose from the grave. walking in the streets of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. The captives were set free. The captives alive and the captives in death were set free because their soul were kept in Hades, but they came out. Not only their soul, their complete self came out from the grave. That's amazing resurrection. That power, I don't think we know the power that is really existing for us. So when we say resurrection day and resurrection life, we are talking about the power that can bring all the dead from the grave in God. Walking around, dematerialized ash body, including Abraham and all of them. People who have died thousands of years back, all of them walking. That is in your Bible. You should be shouting a better hallelujah. Your father is not an ordinary father. So when Jesus says your father, what can he not do in your life today? Verse 19. I won't be able to finish all of it. I'll read some and then finish at home. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most what? Miserable. So let your hope not be limited to what is in this life. You have a blessed hope. His name is called Jesus. But now is Christ risen from the dead and became the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came dead, by man came also what? Resurrection of the dead. We don't have to believe that people died. Do you have to say, oh, I believe people really died? Do you do that? You just know they do. Do you have to believe that people die? Somebody has died today already. Thousands of people have died today in this world, today. Every day people die. Every day people are born. Thousands. You don't need to believe for that. So the word of God says if they die, resurrection is also the same. So there's resurrection life. Say amen. That's in your Bible. I told you, read along with me. Verse 21, everybody read. Wake up. For since by man came what? Death. By man came also the resurrection of the dead. Jesus did it. You don't need so many to do it. One man did it to make all of us die. One man did it to make all of us resurrect. Shout hallelujah. On Good Friday, I prayed a scripture. The scripture was that when Adam and Eve were made in the image and the likeness of God, but when they sinned and they left, and the Bible says Adam started giving birth to children in his image, no longer in the image of God. That is why Jesus had to come. He had to die for us, to bring us back into that image of God. That's where everyone is born in sin. We've been redeemed. Hallelujah. So what is the redeemed for us now? Resurrection life. It's now in your DNA. Sin was in your DNA, but now resurrection is now in your DNA. Somebody say, I have resurrection life. The Bible says the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. It shall quicken your mortal body. We are not immortal yet. We are still mortal. So this one is quickened. That's why sickness cannot stay in your body. Say, I have resurrection life. That's why that thing can exit. It's always a temporary thing. It's up to you. Jesus said, have faith and believe. I can't finish all of it. Oh, Father. Okay, can I move forward? I just read a little bit. Let's move to verse 35. I can read all of that. You need to read that for yourself. Everything there is so good. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Look at what the Bible calls such a question. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it what? Die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it had pleased him. And to every seed his own body. Is that not true? If you plant corn, corn has corn body. It doesn't grow wheat. If you plant an apple has apple. Well, today they cross them. There are some apple, pear, and all those kind of funny fruits. Verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there's one kind of flesh of men and another flesh of what? Beasts. Another of fishes and another of what? Birds. Is that not true? There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But glory of the celestial is one. And the glory of the terrestrial is another. So, how many kind of bodies? Celestial is heavenly bodies. Terrestrial is land body. Hallelujah. Now, I wonder what they call the marine one. It's marine. So, fish, water creatures. Eh? Somebody says celestial. I don't know about that. So, praise the Lord. Marine. All right, verse 41. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the star. For one star different from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Somebody shout hallelujah. We are not corrupt. It's an incorruptible seed of God has been sown into our lives. Hallelujah. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown in natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. I've told you this so many times. You know, just like you have your fingers, everybody do your hands like this. There is another one. This is not the only one you have. The most powerful one. It's inside this one. Hallelujah. And this one, the spiritual one, can go to any nation of the earth while you are standing here. Praise the Lord. It's not limited, but this one is limited. Retrain yourself. It's in the Bible. How did Jesus get into that room again with the disciples? Door, no window. He just showed up. How did he know where they were? How did he know their address? They were hiding. Because the spiritual is not limited. May you be quickened today. I'll read maybe up to just four more and then I'm going to stop. I can't finish it. It's a long passage. Read all of it at home. Where did I stop? 46? 44? Oh, my finger moved forward. It is sown a natural body. It is raised what? A spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made what? A quickening spirit. So each time you call Jesus, quickening spirit. I can prove that to you every time. Anytime I stand in the altar, there is a surge that goes through me. When I stand here to pray, I control it. Because once I call his name, the surge is present. Praise the Lord, the quickening spirit. How by that was not first which is spiritual? The day I don't feel that surge, then I know I'm in trouble.
May I never get to that place. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. How about that, verse 46? That was not first which is spiritual, but that which is what? Natural. And afterward, that which is what? Spiritual. The first man is of the earth, what? Earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Who is your Lord again? That's why you make no man your Lord. You make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. Because earthly things can never help you. All earthly things are going to perish. Temporary. 48. As the earthy, such are they also that are what? Earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they that are what? Heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Resurrection has changed the image. No longer in the image of man. You're not born in the image of, yes, you look like your father and your earthly mother, but you are not in their image. You are now in the image of Jesus. Praise the Lord. If you don't believe it, it will never happen to you. You will always repeat their iniquities and their problems. And you will not carry it and give it to your children. And your children's children. Somebody say, I'm free. See, the prayer you should be praying all the time is, Lord, deliver me from the sins of my fathers and my mothers, and also from yours, so you don't pass it on to your children. Your children are already doing some stuff that you did. May they all be free from the image of the earthly and put on the image of the heavenly. I read two more, I stop. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Very clear. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Oh, my goodness. I said two. I just got to wrap this part up. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah! Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we have read so many words this morning. We believe and we receive your holy word. Let it go to work in our lives. Let us not be the hearer of the word and not the doer. May it be applicable and doable in our lives. We thank you for your resurrection life. We thank you that you have done this wonderful, wonderful, amazing job to bring us back to the Father. We choose to stay with you today. In the name of Jesus, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, peace within her walls and her palaces, peace, O God, to our nations. As the nations are in turmoil, peace to Ukraine, peace to Canada, to Nigeria, to United States of America, all the islands of the sea. Peace, peace, we declare so. May your word come with power, grace, favor, mercy, truth, healing, and deliverance for everyone. And those that are sick, we declare you be healed, be restored, be made whole. Resurrection life flows through your body. And Lord, we thank you for touching Mama Cerullo and David Cerullo and Apostle and all the family leadership in this house. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Apostle.
Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. It's so always powerful to read the Word of God, to receive what God has for us. And we are thankful for His grace, the gift of life. Not that we were just born the first time, but that we were born again by His Spirit, by an incorruptible seed. And this Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose again from the dead, has already given us resurrection life and quickened us so that we are now, the Word of God says, seated with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. It is already done. It's already accomplished. And one of these days, we shall catch up. Our natural shall catch up with our spiritual. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we've read and heard the teaching of the Word this morning. But I want to take us a little bit deeper. Last Friday, we began talking about what caused Jesus to be betrayed. And we said the thing that instigated ultimately the betrayal of our Lord Jesus Christ by Judas was money. It was given. A woman had come while Jesus and his disciples were at the table and took that which was most precious to her, a perfume in an alabaster box, and came where Jesus was and poured it on his head, emptied it. That perfume cost a whole year's wage. And so the disciples said, "That's waste." But Jesus saw it differently. And so did that woman. She saw that Jesus deserved that offering. Jesus deserved it. And we said that when we don't see Jesus as deserving of all of our praise and our worship, we'll end up betraying Him. And then we talked about the fact that the second reason was that the people did not believe the word of the Lord. When they tried to accuse the Lord Jesus Christ over and over again, they failed. They were floundering all over the place. It seemed like they were holding Him at the elbow, and each time He stretched His hand, He was off that grasp. But then two witnesses came, and they said, "We heard Him say that He's going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Oh, now we got Him. Why did they get Him here? Because they did not believe that what He said He could do. The second reason we betray the Lord is because we don't believe that what He said, He's going to do it. Third reason. He had just raised a man from the dead called Lazarus. He came to his tomb on the fourth day and raised this man from the dead. And they said, "We cannot let this guy keep on doing this. The whole, everybody's going to turn around and follow him." So they wanted power and control. That is the other reason we betray the Lord. We want power and we want control. So the Bible tells us, they brought Jesus to the place of judgment before Caiaphas, and the next day they brought Him before Pontius Pilate. And there the Bible tells us they began to whip Him. They released all of their anger on Him, whipping and whipping and whipping. All of that pain. Why? The Bible says He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was bestowed upon him, and by the stripes that he bore, we're healed. He was doing it all for us. One of the key themes that we have embraced during this last few days is the fact that we have options, choices that we need to make. Jesus kept on making the choice for us, for you, for me. Taking my pain and giving to me his grace. Taking my restlessness and giving to me his peace. Taking my sickness and my diseases and giving me his divine health. He went through all of that. While he was going through that, the Bible tells us that Pontius Pilate said, you know what? I don't find any guilt in this guy. But normally I will release a prisoner at this time. It's an act of good gesture. Who would you like released? They said, Barabbas, Jesus. Barabbas was a robber, an extortioner, a wicked, mean man. He's in jail and he was supposed to die that day. But his name is Barabbas, son of the Father. But that's the same thing like Jesus. He's the son of the Father. Barabbas, Jesus, was this man's last name. And Jesus was Barabbas, Jesus too, because he's the son of the Father, the only begotten. So here is Barabbas in the jailhouse, and he hears, who do you want? And he hears, Barabbas, Barabbas, what do you want done with Jesus? But that's his name too. Crucify him, crucify him. So Barabbas is there thinking, my goose is cooked, today I die. But he didn't know that Jesus was exchanging places with him. Because today God is exchanging places with you. He's taking all of your mess, all of my mess, taking it to himself and giving us life so that we can live again. But if God gives you the opportunity to live again, you and I must not waste it doing the same old things we used to do. We've got to live a new life. The theme of this gathering is transformed and alive in him. Praise the Lord. So here, the exchange takes place, and Jesus carries his cross. Carries the cross, falls under the weight of that cross 3 times. And a man coming to town, Simon the Cyrene, helps him. A bloody mess, carrying his cross. And the lesson is this: if he fell under the weight of that cross and needed help, might it be that you need help in your life? Sometimes we're so macho and we think, I can do it. You're dying there. I can do it. But you need help. We all need help. You may end up on the cross by yourself, but on the way to that place of death, we all need somebody to help us. It's incredible to me that the one who came to help him was a black man. You see, God does not believe in racism. We get to help each other. He gets to that cross. And what is he doing? He's not thinking about himself. He's still fending for others. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. He's still saying things like, today you will be with me in paradise. He's still saying things like, Father, forgive them for they do not know what they are doing. The only time he looks at himself was when the weight of sin was bestowed upon him and he experienced what he's never experienced before. He sensed that the presence of God was not there. May I say something to you? When you know God and you know the presence of God in your life, the worst experience is not to feel that presence. I know we believe by faith. I know that. But there's nothing like feeling the presence of God. And for Jesus, who's been in the presence of the Father all through eternity, to feel for the first time God turning his back away, he cried out, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God responds and says, no, son, no. I have not forgotten you. I'm not forsaking you. And the earth shook. Everything ripping apart. God tears the curtain in the temple apart to let him know, son, I'm with you. I'm with you. See, with the eyes of faith, the curtain that separated the holies of holies from the holy place is separated. It's now all the Holy of Holies. Do you know that God has declared by the authority of his grace in your life that you are his abiding place, that you are the Holy of Holies of God? He lives inside of you. Jesus made that possible. When that was settled, the Bible tells us, he said these simple final words. It is finished.
It is finished.
When he said those words
and gave up his spirit,
the rest of the journey started. See, as important as the cross, and thank God for the cross, but your salvation is not just based on the cross, because many people died on crosses. The real work was going to start, but Jesus already said, it is finished. Why? Because he knows that if you're going to accomplish anything, you've got to speak it. Oh, I don't know if you hear it. You got to speak it. You got to say what you want. It is finished. But the battle was just beginning. Because now he goes to hell. Why does he have to go to hell? He went to hell so that you and I don't go to hell. He went to hell and he broke the backbone of satanic forces so that you and I don't have to fight that battle. He fought that battle once and for all to declare victory over our lives, victory over sin, victory over sickness and diseases. He came to shame the devil. Somebody shout hallelujah. Made a public show of them. All by himself. What was he trying to prove? He was trying to prove this very fact. The first Adam blew it, not because he did not have the ability. He blew it because he chose to blow it. Jesus came not as God. He came as man. As the last Adam. Oh, I don't know if you heard that. He came as the what? last Adam. Do you know what that meant? It means that from that very moment when he came as the last Adam, everyone went with him, ceased to be an Adamic race. It means that when Jesus died on that cross and went to the grave and went to hell and defeated Satan as the last Adam, he started a new race. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, that man is a new creation, a species that never existed before. What kind of a species is this? It's a species that has God and man together. God created a new race of God-man. And when we get born again, we become God-man. We move with the authority of the Most High God. And we are in a different class. We are in the God class. Somebody shout hallelujah. Jesus went to hell to show to the devil, listen, stop accusing me and stop accusing the Father that he messed up. No, God never messed up. Man still mess up by the decisions they make. You and I have the ability to make the right choices. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are no longer slaves to fear. We are no longer slaves to poverty and lack, shame, sickness, and disease. We have a choice. We can declare this day in the name of Jesus Christ that the living God reigns in us, and whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm born again. Ah, yes. I'm born again. I'm a new creature. All things are passed away. The Word of God says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Romans 6 and verse 4. The Bible says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It is Christ that lives in me, that's the anointed one. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You were crucified with Christ. By faith, God pulled you. Born in the 20th century, in the 21st century. If we get to the 22nd century, he pulled those people too. Those in the first, second, all people created, he pulled everybody into himself. And that day when they crucified him, you also were in him being crucified. When he died, you died. When he was buried, you were buried. When he said, it is finished, you were so also saying, it is finished. It is done. I'm no longer under the captivity of the enemy, no longer under the captivity of fear, shame, and defeat. It is finished. More than a conqueror. You died with him, you were buried with him. And when you were buried with him, and he went to hell, the Bible tells us, guess where you went? You too, you went to hell. Hallelujah. In him. You know why? Because there's not going to be double jeopardy in this thing. You went already. And you broke out. The price has been paid. The judgment has been exerted. But it was on him. But you were in him. Glory be to God. That's why, child of God, you must not embrace the condemnation of the enemy. Therefore, we are buried with him. Someone said with him. You understand that, right? With him. So you were with him. Say, but I'm only 30 years old. No, you were still with him. In a few days, I'll be 65. May 6th. Don't I look good? I'll get that. With him. With him. Buried with him. How? By baptism. By identification. Baptizo means to be identified. Just like this is white. If I dip it in a color of purple dye, the white will become what color? Purple. By identification. You and I were buried with him by baptism into death. Why? Because out of that comes this incorruptible thing. He took all the corruption down, came back up without corruption, and gave birth to you with that incorruptible seed. Hallelujah. That like Christ was raised up, like Christ was raised up, like Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk how? In newness of life. If you as a believer are not walking in the newness of life, I wonder whether you died. Whether by faith you believed that you died with him. And therefore are no longer under the control and the influence of the devil. Whether truly you believe that you can now make the right choices. Oh, the devil made me do it. No, the devil didn't make you do nothing. The devil doesn't have that power over you anymore. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. I will never forget this passage of Scripture. I know the day that God spoke this word into my spirit, and I became very aware of what this verse means. It was when my first son, our first son, was born. He was born 3 months. Huh? Almost 3 months. He weighed 3 pounds, 14 ounces. We had no insurance. The plan was Mama was going to give birth to the child and we'll whisk the child and Mama home so that we don't have to pay the most expensive hotel bill in town, which is the hospital. But now she has to be in there and the child had to be there until he weighed 5 pounds. Had no money. And I went to the St. Boniface Hospital chapel and I said to talk to God. I said, God, I'm in a serious mess right now. What am I going to do? I don't know what to do. We have no help. The economy in Nigeria at that time was a total mess. Couldn't have foreign exchange. Even if you had the money, they wouldn't let you send money out. The economy had collapsed. Knew nobody here. I'm talking to the Lord. And he says, Romans 6 and verse 5. So I looked around. There was no Bible in the chapel. I went upstairs to the room and thank God for Gideon's. There was a Gideon's Bible, and I opened Romans 6 and verse 5, and I read this passage. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And believe me, child of God, I lost it. I lost it right there. I lost it. I said, God, I'm talking to you about real problems, and you tell me Romans 6 and verse 5. What kind of a nonsense passage is this? This has nothing to do with my problem. Aren't you glad God didn't slap me that day? You silly boy. The mercies of God. Oh my God. God is still merciful and patient. And all he did was just ask me some simple questions. He said, what was the likeness of my resurrection? That tune. I'm still fuming, upset, but I know the voice of God. I said, well, you went through walls like there was no wall. You showed up wherever you wanted to show up like there was no distance. I said, that's good. Do you think this problem is like a wall? I said, yeah. The bill that you're about to pay here to there, is it like some long distance in time? I said, yeah. So, if you have been planted together in the likeness of my death, you'll also be in the likeness of my resurrection. And the light turned on. Oh, the problem is solved. From getting upset, you know, sometimes when you become schizophrenic. You know, when you're double-minded, it's crazy. One day you... oh, my Lord. I am so excited now. I'm so happy. Praise the Lord. The problem is solved. And so it was. God solved that problem. I started paying that bill, and one day I went to pay, and they said, you don't have any bill here? I said, of course I do. They said, no, we don't have a record of you. And please don't go tell St. Boniface. I don't want to... The bill was wiped out. God had resolved the matter. How he did it, I don't know, but I just know he did it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's what resurrection life does. It brings you to a place where you receive the grace of accelerated speed to receive things resolved in your life. It is foolishness not to draw on what God has made available for you. Because I'm not religious. I'm not religious. I'm a self-made man. Self-made man will end up in hell for all eternity. Oh, a good God will not send anybody to hell. Yes, a good God is not going to send anybody to hell, but you will send yourself to hell. Because God has given you the option to choose him, and he's given you the power to live uprightly, you're not going to lose anything. There's no amount of shaking your waist and drinking booze that is going to give you enough high to enjoy the fullness of God's goodness. Been there, done that, and I know this side is better than over there. Praise the Lord, and for all eternity. Somebody shout hallelujah. It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not any longer serve sin. The price has been paid. Jesus paid the price. And he proved that he paid the price, as we read earlier in 1 Corinthians 15, by rising again from the dead. It says, if Christ did not rise from the dead, then you are yet in your sin. And you are of all men most miserable. I serve the living God because he is gracious. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. We read these powerful words. It says, and God had both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. We've already been raised, but there is, when this physical body goes to the ground, the power of God will raise it up too. Because it is your spirit that went with him. Your physical body is still here. And God is doing a new thing in your life and in mine. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, we read these powerful words. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. But you, it says, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. And holy nation, a peculiar people. Why? That you should show forth the praises of him who had called you, watch this, called you out of what? Darkness. We were once darkness, the word of God says, but God is a God who commands light to come out of darkness. And when God commanded light to come out of darkness, he was commanding you to come out of that dark place. Hallelujah. You came out. You are a new creature. You came out of darkness into his marvelous light. What must we do? We must believe the word of God. The word of God says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation for you. But if you are not in Christ Jesus, you are condemned already. But there's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit being the Word of God. When you follow the Word of God, you are no longer under condemnation. As long as you choose to follow the Word of God, even when you trip and you fall, God knows that you're heading in the right direction. And he will continue to help you to continue. Oh, I don't think I'm going to be able to live this Christian life. Let me tell you what. You can't in your own ability. But in Christ, not only can you, you will. Because he causes you to will to do his good pleasure. Amen? Praise the Lord. Listen to what the Word of God says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 34. First of all, it tells us there's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And in verse 34, he restates, there is therefore now no condemnation. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, that has the power to condemn. Yea, rather, the one that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So instead of him condemning us, he's making intercession. Hello? You can't lose in this then. God is on your side, and if God be for me, who can be and what can be against me? I've said it over and over and over again. If any man, woman, boy, or girl ends up in hell, it's not going to be God's fault. Because he gives you the pathway to life eternal. Now, this is how much God loves you and I. The Bible tells us that he came to redeem us. He came to pay the price for our redemption. And I said last Friday, you and I belong to the devil already. When we sinned, we belonged to him. We became the property of the devil. He was Lord and master over our lives. And Jesus came to be the conduit for redemption. Redemption meaning to buy us, purchase us back, get us back. But if you are redeemed, and the word of God says we were purchased. You read it in your Bible, right? We were purchased. That means we're bought. So if he bought us, what was the price that he paid? It had to be an acceptable price to the one who wants to keep us as his property. But what did the devil not have? He already had the world. He was the God of this world. But what didn't he have? What got him kicked out from heaven? He wanted to be equal to God. So in essence, he wanted the throne of God. Are you with me? He wanted that throne. And what does God do? Since that's the only thing that the devil will accept as a price, he did the Goliath and David thing. Give me your champion. And God says, okay, who's going to go for us? Jesus says, I'll do it. And Father had to have faith in his son, who is going to come down as a man to fight the devil for me. What was the cost? If Jesus lost this battle by taking and choosing the wrong things, the devil will have the right to the throne. So the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, who ends up becoming in him, should not perish but have everlasting life. So Jesus came as the last Adam, and the devil is chuckling. I defeated the first one. Let's have a party. This is done. I'm going to deceive this guy too. And he's going to lose. I get the throne. Voila! But it was a setup. Because the first Adam had the capacity. The second one, the last one, loved the Father. Loved himself. Loved his neighbor. Totally sold out to the divine purpose. And it comes down. And when the Father spoke, remember, before Jesus did anything, the Father spoke, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. In other words, I will always be pleased with him. Are you with me so far? Going somewhere. So the Bible says the third person in the Trinity called the Holy Ghost takes Jesus into the wilderness to start the fight. The fight did not start at the cross. It started on the day that Jesus was baptized and God spoke over his life. And the devil says, yeah, so you're really the Son of God, eh? Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's not argue. If you're really the Son of God, why don't you just turn these stones and make them? You hungry? Eat something. Just settle. Eat something. Jesus says, man shall not what? Live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In other words, God didn't tell me to eat nothing yet. And by the way, I'm the Son of God and I don't have anything to prove to you. Because if he turned those stones and make them bread, he would have proven to the devil that he did not really know that he was the Son of God. You know what? You don't need to prove anything to anybody when you know who you are. Takes him up. Shows him the world. Takes him up this mountain. Shows him the kingdoms of the world and says, this is what you came for, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, tell you what. Why don't you just bow down to me, fall down, and I'll give it to you? No. Not so fast. We're not doing that today. 3 times he tempted him, and finally, the Bible says the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him, restrengthened him, and when he came back with power. Now he had power to begin to deal with demonic forces everywhere. Hear this, child of God. All of that he did so that he can pull you and I into himself, so that you and I can live a new life. My word to us today is this: don't waste what God has given to you. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. And we begin to wrap up. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We now have a lively hope. What is hope? Hope is that time of space between when you heard the word of God and when what you heard from God is made manifest. I believe, but I've not seen it yet, but I know. So this time period is a time called hope. It's a time of great expectation. You're expecting because you know it's coming. And if you quit, you will never see the manifestation of it. That's why God has instilled in you and I the ability not to quit. Because the Bible says God gives to us through the resurrection a quickening spirit. I am quickened. Someone say, I'm quickened. Jesus had angelic assistance that came and ministered to him. May God's angelic forces minister to you and help you and I fulfill our mandate in Jesus' name. I'll go through 2 passages real quickly and we'll pray. The Word of God says in 1 John chapter 5, 1 John 5, I'm going to look at verse 3. And 4. It says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. If you're born of God, you overcome the world. I say, and then he says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even faith. Our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? Notice that the structure of that verse. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? The question is this. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Son of God. If you believe that, then the Word of God says you have overcoming grace in your life and you overcome the world. Whatever it is that is thrown at you, you will overcome it. Believe that, receive it, and be it in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And finally, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Colossians 3 and verse 1. The Word of God says, if ye then be reasoned with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. If you have been raised with Christ, then seek heavenly things. If we're born again, our mind and our focus is not earth-centered. It's heavenly-centered. Because, why? Because as he is, so are we. Secondly, we get our instructions from above. Jesus said, I cannot do anything except what I see the Father doing. And when our focus is in the things in the heavens, we'll do something else. It says, we will not set our affections on earthly things. Set your affection on things above. Your love for things above, not on things of the earth. Why? For you are dead and your life is hid. Watch this. Your life is hid in Christ in God. You say, what does that mean? Can I borrow your book for a moment? This is your life. You see it? This outer cover represents God. See it? This inner pages represents Jesus. You see that? Do you see you? You don't see you? What do you see? You see God? You see Jesus? But you don't see you. Guess what? The Bible says, and then we are sealed. If I had the zipper here, we are sealed with the Holy Ghost. You see that? Okay. So you're hidden in God, in Christ, sealed with the Holy Ghost. If the devil has to get you, he has to unzip, knock Father off, and knock Jesus off. But Jesus already defeated him single-handedly. All of his demons. Come on. Come on. Come on. Are we going to lose this thing? There's no way to lose. It's about the resurrection. It's about what God came to do. He did not lose his throne because Jesus did it all right. And guess what? The ability to do it right, he has put inside of you and I. And we are not going to blow it. Amen? We are not going to falter. We are not going to bring the name of God to shame, because the life of God is being lived in us day in, day out. Why? We keep on choosing God. If your eyes are on him, you will never stumble. But when you start serving mammon, thinking about your daily bread based on your ability, your goose is cooked. That's all I can say. So choose Jesus. That's the smartest thing for you to do. Serve God with all of your heart. That is the best thing you can do. The Word of God says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So don't be a fool. That's what I have to say. It's the fool that says in his heart, there is no God, and acts like it. Smarten up. If you don't know Jesus Christ yet as your personal Lord and Savior, I'm not insulting you. I'm just saying it's better for you to hear me say smarten up than for you to end up in hell. Because you don't have to go there. I don't plan on doing that. Been there, finished with that. Now I'm all heaven bound. What about you? Praise the Lord. See, the throne, you were purchased. Now, you ready for this? The price that he paid was the price of God. That was the exchange. You say, what do you mean by that? Jesus is God, isn't he? Who died on the cross? Jesus. But what makes the blood of Jesus effective? You know what makes it effective? The throne. That is what backs the currency. This is not print out money anyhow. No, this money has value. This price paid has value, and it is the throne. You know what that throne stands for? God, who says, I keep my word. And what I say, I do. That's what backs it. That means there's not a day that you should be trembling and living in fear, thinking, what if God doesn't do something? There's no such day. Does not exist. It only exists if you don't believe him to the end. Just believe him. Listen, he still raises the dead, and he still gives sight to the blind. He restores our soul, and he still can meet every need in your life. Do you receive him? Bow your heads with me. I thank God for everyone that is here, those that are listening online, wherever you are, having heard the word of God. I want to give you an opportunity today to make a decision, an eternal decision, for Jesus is eternal life. If you have not received him, and if you've not been walking relationally with him, if you've been just shelving him somewhere and playing games with your spiritual awareness, whatever the situation is, But today you want to correct that. You want to see restoration in your walk with God and to live a life that honors God. Just lift up your right hand wherever you are, whether I see you up there on the stream, those watching by streaming or whatever, or those that are here. You just want to just recommit your life to God, or you want to give your life to God for the first time and say, God, I have heard about you. I know about you. I have walked with you, but I'm not walking with you right now. I know it. I want that to change. I want to rededicate my life to you and reconnect again. Just raise that right hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I thank God for those hands that have been raised. And I'd like everyone to rise with me for a moment. I'm going to pray in just a moment. But the Lord is quickening in my spirit about an experience I had maybe about 2 weeks ago. I was about to come to church and I had a shirt that I wanted ironed. And I plugged in the iron and I came back and the iron was not on. I looked, it was plugged in. Why is this iron not on? When I looked closer, I found out what had happened. There was one of these expander blocks that you plug to the wall that has six other plug-ins. I had plugged in one prong, and the other prong was outside. It was plugged, but it was not connected. Today, I want everyone here to be properly connected. Don't just be one in and one out, one leg in God and one leg out in the world. There's no power there. You got to be all in, or there's not going to be power in your life. So when we pray this prayer right now, whether your hand had been raised, I want you to pray it from the depths of your being. Say with me, Lord Jesus, I give you my life, all of my life. It now belongs to you. You have the right, the power to correct, to direct, to lead, to guide, and to help me. I make this decision now to declare you Lord and Savior of my life. Forgive me all my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And make me this day a new creation. All things passed away. Now all things are now new. I am born again, living a new life, empowered to rule and reign in my world. In Jesus' mighty name, I am saved because Jesus is risen from the dead. Amen and amen. Give a good clap offering unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, at this time, I'm going to ask Mama to come join me. We're going to share in communion together. You may be seated if you elect to. If you want to stand, you may do so. But let us share in communion together. If you need the elements, just raise your hand and somebody will come and serve you. And right after we take communion, I want us to give our biggest gift of faith to the Lord. just to express to him that we appreciate what he's done for us. Bring him an offering of thanksgiving. Amen. Hallelujah. Anyone else needs the element? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Karabushaka talabarabasiki. This is the body of the Lord. He says, whenever we come together and we partake of this body, that we should do it in remembrance of him. As we take of this body this morning, may God's healing anointing rest upon each life. May God's power shatter every stronghold. For that name which is above every other name is the name that you behold and you are partaking of. As you eat, may the blessings of God pursue after you and overtake you. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. Take and eat.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, in whose image are you now?
Image
of God. Hallelujah. He has transformed us from darkness to light. There's no more darkness in our lives.
Amen.
So when you take this cup, it's called the cup of blessing. It's not an honorary blessing that will buy you things in this earth. It's a currency of heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your life has been changed. Your bloodline has been changed. Somebody say, my bloodline.
My bloodline.
Has been changed.
Has been changed.
To the bloodline.
To the bloodline.
Of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
So all things.
All things.
Are possible.
Are possible.
For my life.
For my life.
From now on.
From now on.
In Jesus' name. Take and drink.
Praise the Lord. Just give us a few more minutes of your time. You've spent so much time already, so just bear with us. Just a quick announcement. First announcement, there is not going to be an in-person service tonight, but there will be a broadcast online tonight. Secondly, starting in May 1st, to be precise, we're going to do something a little bit different. We want to be certain that we are reaching more people than we are reaching right now. As you can see, the service took 2 hours plus from beginning to the end today. That's a lot of time on YouTube if we want to reach the market of people that we need to reach with the Word of God. So what we're going to be doing is, starting on the 1st, if you are not in church, my prayer is that you are always in church. But if you're not here for whatever reason, if you want to see the whole service, praise and worship, the prayer times and all of that, you're going to have to migrate to the Zoom settings. And that's, if you can use your camera, you can pick up that those numbers so you know exactly where to go. on Zoom. The Zoom channel will start at exactly 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings, and also on our website it will be so. But we'll come on YouTube at the time when the message is being preached, and on Facebook. Okay? So that's starting on the 1st. So do take note of that information. The Zoom link is there, the passcode is there. Download Zoom so that you can watch and participate if you are not in person in the service. Amen? Is that all right? Is it clear? You understand? And you know why we're doing it? Praise the Lord. All right? Now, let's just listen to the announcement for the week. And come at this time and start releasing your offering. If you've not given it yet, please come and give your offering and your tithe. And we'll listen to the announcement. I trust that you experience God in an unusual way in the service today.
God is a faithful God, and I know you are so blessed. I am blessed, and I know you're carrying your blessing home. May you and your family be lifted from the place you are to higher grounds. In Jesus' name, amen. Shalom, beloved.
Amen. Do remember that God has called you to be a witness. Spread the good news. Let somebody know how God has showered you with his love today during this service.
Bring a friend with you next time.
Amen.
Amen. Blessings.
Blessings. Shalom.